Well, my wavelength gets a little longer every time I wave goodbye. Hi, hi. Sentimental breakdown. You know I break down a lot. Hi, hi. Where I'm not supposed to lie my head. Always see my softest pillow. And as I board my plane, something inside my brain hates to wave LA goodbye. Hi, LA goodbye.
Jimmy Peter across there. And a big G.
Prematurely purple.
WG 720.
That's your line, Roland.
I love it.
Yeah, prematurely purple. That's the great Jim Peterick, who is a rock and roll legend and is kind enough to come in and join us and share his genius with us so often.
And some new music, too.
I got some new stuff.
Which is
Anna
awesome.
Heard a little preview, and she was nodding, bobbing her head.
And I want to just say something, that tomorrow night, which is the 16th of September.
Okay.
It is Jim Peterick at the Arcata Family Theater. Now, this is a new venue, relatively new venue, yes?
It's beautiful. I think it used to be Zany's. It's within Pheasant Run.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very intimate, beautiful venue with video screens. We're going to be showing videos while we're singing, and it's going to be cool.
And now, are you doing, which show are you doing?
This is the show you saw at the winery about a year ago.
So it's like, well, if it is not, is it sold out? Because if it's not sold out, you people have got to go see this.
Mm-hmm.
Because what this is it's different takes on Jim's biggest hits. And, I mean, Jim has had, I mean, how many, I don't even want to guess.
19. Don't even go there.
19 ginormous hits. And that either Jim has, been on, written, performed, and every once in a while you hear a song and go, wait, is that you? That's you? But you're doing a different take on it.
Yeah.
Will you do a little bit of that for us here?
In fact, Andy is coming. He's playing fiddle. I think he's about 5 minutes away, and we'll give you a little taste of that. But we've got a fiddle in the band, a banjo, upright bass. What do we got? Andy. No, it's not Andy.
No, nope.
Andy's
not
blonde.
Yet.
Hi.
Andy's not purple?
She's a super fan. I know her. Anyway.
So the crowds are amassing outside now.
Exactly. And we got a pedal steel, and it's groovy.
It's kind of a blues rock, it's presented in a way that you're kind of hearing things being done now out of Nashville. Sort of, it's kind of an alt country kind of
Americana.
Americana version of it.
What I like.
Oh
to
my god! We'll play a little game with this. You people got to see this. Mm-hmm. Go to oshows.com. That's where the tickets are available, oshows.com. And that is $30. You got to check this show out. This is one of my favorite shows of the last number of years.
Thank you.
That I have seen.
Thank you.
Of anybody, by any stretch of the imagination.
So, well, that's very, very complimentary.
And I see a lot of things. I'm very self-important.
Well, thank you. And I tell the stories behind the songs.
I love
so
that.
It's really casual.
I do love that.
And laid back, and then we get bump up the energy.
Oh,
you know?
Yes.
We do rock it into the night, but we do it like with fiddles and banjos. Mm-hmm.
It's really cool.
It's fun.
Really cool show. All right. So you can see that tomorrow night at the Arcata Family Theater, Pheasant Run Resort. That's at 4051 East Main Street in St. Charles. Everything happens in St. Chuck, doesn't it? Got that right.
There's a lot going on there.
All right, let's now talk to Adam Hoge because, let's just face it. It's do or die for the Bears. The season is really on the line Sunday.
It's the second game.
There's no two ways around it. Yeah. Well, it seems to me that this is the game that if Mike Glennon does not play well against his former team, I mean, they're going to start moving up the time frame, I think, on Mitchell. Don't call me Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, it kind of makes sense even from a strategic standpoint to play him these first two games. He not only played the Falcons a lot in his career, but has had success. And then, of course, he knows the Buccaneers really, really well because he was drafted and played in the organization for 4 years. So, I think that kind of factors into things. But you're right. I mean, I don't know how you guys felt. I thought he was just fine on Sunday. Just fine.
Right.
That's the F word, though, Adam. Yeah. That's just the F word.
Well, he lost a lot of people with the final drive. Yeah. I think that's where people are like, oh, man, you're playing so well against a good team, right? A team that had a lot of the returning Super Bowl team with them. And then, boom.
And then the other thing is, I mean, when you draft a quarterback number two overall, your expectation, and it sounds unfair to say this, but your hope is that you're drafting a Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, that's kind of the expectation when you mm-hmm. use a pick that high and you trade up to get a guy that high. So, and Trubisky has done nothing but look good since he's been drafted. It's a small sample size. It was the preseason, but
yes.
I think you're right.
If
you struggle this week, you start to move the timetable.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true, because I think that what we're seeing here, and I go over to you, Kevin Pell.
Yes.
Muscle man.
Yes.
As Mike Ditka called him.
As Mike Ditka did call. He's our muscle man. We seem to have a situation developing here where Bears are going to need stars. I mean, and the thing is that they need stars, even if they're not going to be even a 500 team. I mean, they let one get away from them. That could be the difference between having a successful and unsuccessful season here.
Yeah, well, I tweeted that during the game on Sunday. I said, imagine this offense without Tariq Cohen. I mean, can you believe that sentence was even uttered on Sunday? Tariq Cohen, a little-known 5'6 back out of a, D2, D3 school. Without Tariq Cohen, I mean, this offense is lifeless, Adam. Wouldn't you agree? There's next to nothing for the quarterback to work
Adam.
With.
We're checking Adam right now.
Oh, we're checking it with Adam right now. We've sent Adam up the
tunnel right now
to
get a little look-see by the doctor, and then we'll send him out onto the field.
I like it. I see what you did there with the radio pivot to me. Mm-hmm. This offense lacks playmakers. That's the big thing. I mean, you have Jordan Howard, who's questionable for Sunday. We don't even know if he's going to play, but he doesn't really exactly scream big plays. He's more of a steady back. He can rely on, but I don't know if he's gonna bust plays anything like Tariq Cohen did on Sunday. And the receivers, I don't know how you feel, Adam, but I think it's probably the weakest receiving group in the National Football League.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and it's definitely bottom three. You put probably with the Jets and the Bills.
Oh god, it
doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
Mike Glennon is here because of Jameis Winston. I think the Bears would be very happy if Mitch Trubisky was at Winston's level in a few years. Winston was the top pick 3 years ago. Glennon gets bumped down to the backup position. He's facing that same situation now with Trubisky. But Glennon pretty much openly said that he's had this one circled on his calendar, right? Facing his former team.
Yeah, and I appreciate him being candid about that. I don't know how many times we've had these type of games in the past, and players are just like, nope, just another day on the calendar. Right. Obviously, it's not. I mean, you're going to get up for this one a little bit more. I think it's a cool storyline. He really, to no fault of his own, it's not like Mike Glennon was terrible in Tampa.
Let me stop you right there. How would we know?
Yeah.
Did he really play?
He didn't really play.
About one season, pretty much.
Well, to kind of, without getting too far into it, I mean, when Lovie Smith took over, he just sort of decided not to play Glennon. I mean, they went to Josh McCown, and Glennon, who was drafted by the organization, just kind of, I think unfairly, just got kind of pushed out. And then the next thing you know, they draft Jameis Winston. So, and the thing is, I mean, we know here in Chicago, Lovie Smith's a fine defensive coach. No one's really trusting his ability to evaluate quarterback play.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I'm not trying to say Glennon's outstanding or anything, but he did kind of get a raw deal in Tampa, and I think that's fair to say. So his motivation Sunday, it's definitely there.
Well, I think Mike Glennon is nothing but a National Football League backup quarterback, so I don't feel too bad for him, because you don't have to be an expert to recognize there's not a whole lot of talent there. What's the update on Jordan Howard, listed as questionable today? You think he's going to play on Sunday, because this offense needs all the help they can get?
Yeah, I mean, he's practicing this week. They're just being careful. I think he's going to be fine. Same thing, Leonard Floyd popped up on the injury report today.
Leonard Floyd!
He talked to reporters. He seems fine. I think the big ones are,
you get Prince Amukamara back, your corner back. You get Kyle Long back in there.
Is he going to play? What's his status?
He sounded close. Interesting comment from him today, by the way. He said had to kind of rediscover his love for football.
Oh, for God's
sake. Oh, my gosh. What do you mean?
Yeah. Is it really that bad? And the Bears sapped his love of the game out of him. I mean, he's born into a football dynasty.
Well, he didn't even start playing until what, his senior year of high school, something like that, or midway through high school.
He went to college to play baseball.
He hasn't even been playing that long.
Well, I think if
you is it something I said?
he wasn't put on the pup list, the physically unable to perform list, to start training camp. He was practicing. Then he gets in these fights at practice, and then all of a sudden he disappears for a couple weeks. It's pretty obvious there's something else going on here besides just the ankle.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought that was an interesting comment, so, maybe explaining some of the issues here.
So is Prince Amukamuka going to be actually playing? Is his highness going to be able to get in? Does he wear a robe, actually, when he's on the field? Does he do that? I don't know how that goes. Is Prince Amukamara going to play on Sunday?
I would call it 50-50 right now.
Is he still questionable?
He's still questionable. All these guys are questionable.
Okay.
And I would say
the whole team's questionable.
Well, that too. I was surprised to see Prince practicing this week. So I'm not overly optimistic about Amukamara. Maybe Long gets out there, but I will say, Tom Compton filled in for Kyle Long last week. He's just fine. So maybe you buy that another week. And
I got to say that Glennon got really good protection. He had a good time in the pocket. He seemed confident in the pocket. He seemed okay. I mean, I think it's a little bit of, there's not much I can do about this situation because it's not exactly like he's mobile. He just has got to get, he's got to get rid of the ball. And a couple times he made some very smart moves. I mean, it shows you that he's got some experience now, at least, at the NFL level, and seeing that you can't really force stuff in the NFL. That's something Jay Cutler never learned in his career. But, he was using outlet guys, and then he was, his checkdowns were great. And then every once in a while, just, toss it out of bounds because there was no hope.
The game manager.
That last drive was great. You got first and goal on the 6-yard line. You got enough time to even try to pop one, to try to run one as long as you keep your guys home. I think one of the issues that you're going to run with here for the entire season is I don't know that the Fox regime has actually been able to instill football discipline in this squad yet. You don't necessarily have guys that are understanding the clock. Sometimes the coach doesn't understand the clock. He's been at this a long time.
Yeah.
And I don't think that I think they lose situational awareness. You saw that. That is exactly what happened on the defensive side of the ball during that 81-yard score. That 81 who scored. What was that?
Hooper, 88-yard touchdown.
Yeah, 88-yard touchdown. I mean, that was like a crazy. They were sitting there. They were literally still in the huddle while the Falcons were lined up ready to go. I mean, it was. Stupid.
I thought Matt Ryan was going to snap the ball earlier than he did.
Sure, why not?
The Bears weren't even lined up.
Right. So that's. I'm just sort of consistently disappointed by the lack of preparation there.
Hey Adam, I know you guys talk during the week as well to some of the Buccaneers on conference calls and things like that. What are they saying about Irmán and how that's going to play a role? I know obviously they didn't play their opener. What were the players? What were the coaches saying about it? And how do you think it'll impact this game?
Well. I'm glad you brought this up because it is a very unique storyline to this game, really, to the NFL. It's really never happened before that you have one team who's played a game and the other team hasn't. Now, I think it's important to point out, though, that it's not like the Bucs really got 2 weeks to prepare for the Bears. They ended up having their bye week. With the hurricane coming, they were let loose. They were allowed to go wherever they wanted to last week. The team had to temporarily relocate to Charlotte. That's kind of where they relocated the front office and everybody working in the building. So the biggest problem that the Bucs had was, think about the travel conditions on Monday and Tuesday. The airport was closed on Monday, reopened Tuesday, but was very limited. They were having a really hard time getting their players all back to Tampa in time to practice on Wednesday. And we talked to their head coach, Dirk Cutter, on Wednesday, and he said some of the players didn't have power back yet in their houses. So
I mean, this does have impact. I mean, I don't want it. And, you know, you want two teams meeting each other equally prepared. You know, you definitely want that in a situation like this. You don't want to think about those kinds of exogenous circumstances. But in Vegas, they do, which is why the line is tighter on this game than it probably, you know, would otherwise be. So we'll see. Not that, that I'm a betting man.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was everyone's instinct, I think, to think like a week ago when the Bucks' first game got canceled was, oh, they're going to have 2 weeks to prepare for the Bears. That's such an advantage they have. I don't see how this Hurricane's an advantage to Tampa at all. I mean, their minds have not been on football really until they got back in the building Wednesday. And then, I hope it was as normal as a week as possible. But come on, it's a very unique situation.
Yeah, how could it be, really?
All right, well, I can't wait for Monday.
Good luck, Coach Fox.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
All right, see you guys.
Bye. There he goes. Thank you, Kevin.
You got it.
For everything you've done.
Kevin will be back at 6:40.
All right. We've got the great Jim Peterick in studio, and he's going to play for us, and he's going to talk to us, but I'd rather have him play for us. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We talk all the time. So all of that is coming your way. But first, Violetta Powder Medic with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.